The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And we say a very good morning to Yvonne O'Connor. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, John.
Okay, so out and about you are at the moment. The weather's been pretty warm in recent times, although the sun has evaporated a little bit. But that hasn't stopped the old growing. I know we talk about this every week, but I love this time of year because the blooming is out.
Yeah, you can certainly see the result now of the bit of heat and everything that we got there, John. And the rain, believe it or not, has helped big time. Again, it's the moisture when you need it, when the plants are growing, and it's this fantastic flowering. I mean, looking at all around the place, you know, there's great blossoms everywhere, and it's great to see it. Just a little word of warning, there is plenty of blight out there for people growing potatoes, and blight does affect tomatoes as well, so just be a bit careful on that.
Yeah, you mentioned that to us last week about the blight, and for people who have potatoes, how do they look after when blight could be attacking the potatoes?
Well, just go into your garden centre and see if there's a copper spray you can get, because there's the blight sprays that used to be out there donkeys years ago. Of course, they're not on the market anymore. A lot of people grow blight-free varieties. God, that's very hard to say. Blight-free varieties. Personally, I don't, because I think they're cook-resistant as well as blight-resistant. But anyway, but look, at if you get blight on your potatoes, and if they're anyway mature at all, what you can do then is just cut off the tops of the potatoes and stop the blight travelling down into the tubers.
Yeah. We always seem to get questions about potatoes this time of the year generally, but I think the season for planting potatoes must be over at this stage, is it?
Oh, God, it's well over, John. Yeah. No, you wouldn't be putting in any, you know, your potatoes would be nearly... The early ones have been nearly ready for picking now at this stage.
Yeah, I'm just looking at one of the questions after popping in there, and it's one of those ones which I think is very much a 21st century question, because I always seem to think that when it comes to courgettes and aubergines, they're very much, a nuance that have been around for the last few years or so, but subsequently before that, they weren't really popular. But at the moment, how do you go about growing them, and are they easy to grow, courgettes and aubergines in Ireland?
Well, I haven't grown aubergines, and I'm not sure, actually, I'd have to look that one up. I'm not sure how easy, I presume they're quite easy to grow, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Courgettes are very easy to grow. They're a bit like, you know, you grow your cucumbers and courgettes and marrows. They'd be all the same sort of family, and, you know, even the, you know, the gourds that you grow for the autumn, for Halloween pumpkins, those pumpkins and all those. They're all the same family, and they're very, very easy to grow. Now, again, it's late to be putting, you wouldn't be putting them in, you'd want to be getting rather big plants if you're only putting them in now.
Yeah.
You know, they'd want to be fairly mature with flowers and all on them ready to go at this stage, because it's too late to be starting them off.
Mm.
But if you're doing them next year or thinking of doing them next year, you'd put them in at the same time that you would, you know, tomatoes. You get your seeds grown about the end of March, April, or get your seedlings then in, or your little plants then the early May, and have them flying on from there. And it's great even to grow the gourds and the pumpkins for kids for the autumn. It's a great fun thing to grow, but just bear in mind, if you're growing them, they tend to grow very big. You know, think of nasturtiums on a gigantic scale. They sort of grow very big, so put them somewhere where they have a lot of space. You know, you can grow them outdoors if you've got a nice sunny area. They do need a lot of organic matter to get them to grow well. You know, in the olden days, they would have put them in on a bed of farmyard manure with straw and everything, where it would have grown, you know, heated up very well.
Yeah, and if you ever watch those cookery programs, they're often described as zucchinis, is that correct?
Yeah, all the same family.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, John. You're on the right line there.
Yeah.
So all these different things. Now, I tend to grow one or two courgette plants because I like courgettes, and I grow a cucumber or two. But that's about it, because they do take a lot of space up, which I don't have for them, and I prefer to grow a lot of tomatoes.
Yeah, another one that somebody asked me about to ask you, I suppose, months ago back, I probably never got around to do it, it just kind of dawned on me now, was, is it easy to grow pak choi in Ireland?
Oh, yeah. It's one of your salad veg. Just put it in as you would any salad veg.
Okay, very good, because it's another one of those things that seems to be pretty popular these days as well. So I can't remember who said that to me, but thanks anyway.
Different, you know, it's all these different flavours, and it's great to have them. I mean, even when you're growing peas, you know, some people grow them for just the little baby shoots. Personally, I like to let them mature, and, you know, at the moment, I have... picked my sugar snap peas, and they're gone into the freezer at this stage. So that's that.
Okay.
The peas are all coming in at this stage, so a lot of them will be eaten and a lot of them will be put in the freezer. Just, again, we're still into the weather has, you know, came, weather always comes funny every year anyway. You never get a normal, you know, spring, summer, the way, you know, you kind of revert back to March in the middle of July, you know, or whatever. So, and these things affect things, the onions in particular and the brassicas that we were talking about this bolting last week. And it is a problem with vegetables this year. There is a lot of bolting out there.
Okay. Right, let's turn our attentions to, there's a question after coming in there. Let's have a turn to Anne Rang, and has a large clump of foxgloves, would love to spread them out and give them to her sister. How would she go about doing this and to put them into a clump? They're about 6 years in the garden.
Yeah, usually if they're the foxgloves, you know, you'll get seedlings. You'll get the seeds on the top of them. You can't really divide foxgloves, but you will get baby plants sprouting up around the place. And, you know, when you get your baby plants coming up, then you can lift them out in the autumn, stick them in a pot and give them to your sister, and she can grow them on from there. So you do, they do tend to, you know, disperse seed and grow that way. But there's no point digging out the big one and giving that to her, because they only, the individuals only last a certain length of time. So you're looking for the baby plants to grow on and give them to someone.
Are the foxgloves the ones that also grow wild as well?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
you often see them in kind of in you know, sides of ditches and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're lovely. They're absolutely fantastic. They're one of our nice native plants. They also, the Latin name is digitalis, and it's from the foxglove that they get digitoxin, which is a chemical that's used in dealing with heart disease.
Yeah. Now, here's one in. It's from Derek. Derek says, thanks, Yvonne, from a couple of weeks ago back about giving us advice regarding the patio. Believe it or not, you said not to put plastic down. We had to go back out to the garden, pull back up the plastic before we put the sand down, and it's worked really well. Thank you very much for your top tip.
That
is something that I think that's important, because I'll be honest with you, we were only talking about this after our conversation when I went home. I am pretty sure that when we laid down our patio 15 years ago, we put plastic down and then put the sand on top of it.
You could well have, because that would have been the recommend. Oh, put the plastic down, it'll stop the weeds coming up through the gap.
That was it.
No,
it didn't work.
Won't, because the seeds blow in. It's not the growth from the ground. It's seeds blowing in, getting in where the ground is a bit chipped or something like that.
Yeah,
and they grow in those little gaps where you've dust. See, dust will accumulate, and that'll be your compost or your soil for the plants to grow in. See, it's seeds that blow in. It's not weeds coming up from underneath.
Yep.
So your 804 and your sand underneath your patio is all you need.
Yeah, I think at this stage you'd probably have to dig up the slabs. The slabs are in good nick, though, in my own house. They're just the.
Is it that bad?
No, I think probably just the whole thing needs to be regrouted, I would say. Now, I have to say, we gave it a good old power wash about a season and a half ago back, and I really thought it came up brilliant. The slabs that were kind of now more or less grave on went back to their normal colour, which was kind of that sandstone coloury, and it looked very, very well. But I definitely
made new. And you lifted out half the grout in between them at the same time.
Yeah, I did, absolutely, yeah. Now, in saying that, what I did was somebody else gave me another tip, which I tried and it didn't work, which was I was told to go to the garden centre and get half and half of grout and sand and throw it into the slabs, and when the rain comes, it'll set. It didn't work.
No, that wouldn't be the best, No.
I thought it sounded like a good idea. But it didn't work, because obviously the grout and the sand would combine together.
You need to rake out the joints properly. It's a pain in the neck to do. It's also a pain in the back to do it, and you cut the fingers off yourself while you're doing it. But you have no choice. You know, get down, rake out the joints, rake them out good and deep. At least, you know, a half an inch to an inch deep, or 2 centimeters deep, and then, you know, you just need to get. And you can get these new grouts, which are chemical grouts. They're not sand and cement. Chemical grouts, which are very easy to put in. You just spread it, it's a granular mix, you spread them on the patio, you brush them in well, you then wash them in, you spread again, you wash in again, and they'll set solid, but they let water down, but the weeds won't grow up through it.
Okay, Keelan was on. She has a question for you regarding autumn colour. We're having a celebration of our daughter's wedding after they got married. We're hoping to do it in the middle of September. Just want to increase the autumn colour. Is it too late to start thinking about that now? And if it is, what could I use to maybe put in pots?
No, you could add in, if you've any sort of borders, you could go to your garden centre and get yourself some chrysanthemums or asters. Things like this that flower in the autumn. Sedum is another lovely one that flowers in the autumn. The Sedum spectabile. And it's a fantastic plant that flowers in the autumn. There's lots of plants out there that will give you autumn colour. I mean, roses, if you've any carpet roses or small patio roses, they, if you keep them dead-headed, they will flower right through into September. September is not that late. It's really sort of late summer, you know, rather than an autumn. And so you can go for lovely things like this. You know, you could go to your garden centre, get them now, grow them on so that they're that big, bigger by the autumn, and you don't have to rely on buying ones in flower at that stage. But there are plenty of herbaceous plants out there that will flower in the autumn.
Okay, Sue is on, and she says that she lives in an apartment and a nice-sized balcony. She's put out some pots on the balcony, hanging on the rails. They look absolutely terrific. It's south-facing. How do I go about maintaining them? Is it just plenty of water? Do I need to add anything to them? Oh, I suppose it depends
water,
what they are,
water,
really.
Yeah. It is water, 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 because if you're on a balcony, you're up where the wind is going to get them, and wind will dry out plants much more than sunlight. So even if you've got a dull, dull day, and if it's windy, that will suck the water out of the plants. So water, 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 and feed, I would say feed about maybe once, twice a week even, in the water. So use a liquid feed, but it is all in the watering. And as plants in containers, as the summer goes on, the roots grow and grow in the containers, so they take up more and more room, so it takes more, you know, you don't have that space of compost for water retention. The roots have eaten up a lot of the room, so they use up the water very, very quickly. So you're not talking about watering once a week, you're probably talking about watering every evening or every second evening, even if it rains.
Right.
And that applies to containers anywhere. You just, once you get through into July, August, the demand, the water demand for plants in containers is huge. You couldn't overwater, I would say, at that stage, or you'd be very unlucky to overwater at that stage in their growth.
Okay, and onward going, bound to the camellia bush. Paula has a small one and she wants to plant it into the garden. When is a good time to do this?
Oh, once it's in a container, Paula, you can plant it out any time you like. So you can plant it into your garden now, no problem. Preferably put it somewhere where it's not going to get the morning sun. Now, that's important, because if you get weather like we got in May, these late frosts, or even a bit earlier than that with the camellia, if you get these frosts, they're going to knock all the buds off your camellia and you won't have any flowers if it's facing into the morning sun. It's the morning sun that does the damage after a frosty night.
Okay.
It's not actually the frost itself. So plant it into the ground. Now, do bear in mind that camellias don't like limey soil. So if you're in limey area, say in Kildare, if you have a few rusty nails hanging around, put them down into the hole where you're planting the shrub. That'll keep, number one, they'll oxidise when they go rusty, and they'll put a bit of iron into the soil, which will drop the pH. Other than that, you can also get yourself some acid or ericaceous feed, the feed for rhododendrons and azaleas.
Okay.
And once it's in the ground a week or so, then you can get a bit of a feed, but let it settle into the ground first. Water the ground well before you put it in. Water the pot well before you take it out, and water it again when you put it in.
Okay.
And it'll be grand.
Okay, off to Kill we go. Peter Ryan was on. He's moved his old shed to a new location. Actually, he destroyed his new shed, he has in brackets here, and now he's left with a big, big patch. He's built a new structure which is in the completely other end of the garden and not affecting it, but the problem now is all I have is big dead I know exactly what he's out. I've seen that before, where you remove the old timber shed that's on blocks and it's just dead as a dodo. So what happens to, how do you bring that patch back to life, Yvonne?
I don't know what he wants to do with that patch now that he's gained this lovely patch of garden, which is...
Yeah.
It depends where it is. Is the shed somewhere that gets a lot of... Was the shed somewhere that gets a lot of sunlight? Would you like to put a patio down there?
Yeah.
Would you like to put flowering plants down there? Would you like to extend your lawn down there? So, I mean, basically, if it's a lawn, you're just going to strim it down to the ground, that dead old weedy stuff that's on it,
yeah,
and you're going to give it a good rake taken over just to loosen it up a bit and get grass seed down, and that's your lawn done. But think about the area before you just say, ah, that's a, you know, horrible old blank spot now, you know, we just throw a bit of grass on it. You've gained an area in your garden. Would it be useful for something else? Is it somewhere maybe you'd put a glasshouse?
Yeah.
And to grow, if it's very sunny, and grow a few veg. You know, I don't know. If he wants to send me photographs of the area and what way it's facing and south, I'll have a better idea. But think about it first before you decide, ah, I'm just going to fling a bit of grass seed down on this and let the grass grow.
Okay.
You're giving yourself more maintenance.
Right, two questions on grass, and the first one is on the way. Here it comes. This is to do with Paul, who has moved his children's swings out of the way again. Something else has been moved out of the way. Now, where the patches, where the swings were, it's all kind of grown over or baldy in some patches. I know exactly what that is as well. That's something that we had the same problem in our garden when our children grew up. We would move the swings, and of course, you're left with all the bare patch around where the kids would rub their feet on the ground in the swings.
Yeah, not only are you into a bare patch there, John, but you're into a compacted patch and possibly an indent in the ground.
Yes.
You know, where it's worn away. You know, not only did they wear the shoes out when they were stopping the swing, but they also wore the ground out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to bring, if he's just putting grass over that area, he's going to, well, number one, strim down the grass that was around the legs, you know, the four legs of the swing where you couldn't mow into.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make sure you've got those blooming metal pegs out of the ground that hold the swing down.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that swing was concreted in.
Yes.
And maybe he has to take out four little pads of concrete as well.
That's going to be another story.
A warm job for a day.
Absolutely.
But it depends on, so you've got to repair the area where the four legs were, but also you've got to repair the area which is now indented because of the wear from kids' feet swinging on it. So you're going to have to, I would say, fork that over a little bit just to let a bit of air, because it'd be quite compacted as well.
Yeah.
Fork it over a little bit and dress over with a bit of topsoil. Get the other four leg areas trimmed down, and then you can just overseed the whole thing and extend your lawn.
Yeah, and that actually the following question could have, the answer could be partly the same as well, because is there a fast growing hardy grass you can use to patch the lawn for heavy grandkids playing? Well, not heavy grandkids playing, but I suppose they're being heavy on the grass more so than anything else. So whoever sent that in, we don't want to know if they're heavy grandkids, but I know where you're coming from. It's
there are there are lawn seed mixes out there for heavy wear.
Yes.
And yes, if you want to overseed your grass, go into your garden centre, tell them exactly what the lawn is being used for, and then you can overseed in the autumn. Again, what you would do is you'd strim it right down bare to the ground, and you would overseed with this mix. And September, early October would be ideal time for doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So sort of end of August, depending on the weather, you know, because you can get a great swath of grass then developing over the winter, and it'll be nice and hardy before the kids start mucking on it again in the spring. So, or again, you know, I mean, is there an area that you want to, I was going to say an area you want to dedicate to kids playing, but if it's grandparents, they're not there all the time, you know, they're running in and out of it. So just put in, there is hardier grasses out there, you know, rather than your number one mix, you'd be going for a hard-wearing grass mix.
Okay, one final question. Joe has a cucumber plant that has taken over his glass house. It's
told
in a
you.
Container. Can it be moved, or will it suffer in the change of atmosphere?
Oh, don't move it out. If it's in the glass house, don't. Try and get some bamboos or string or something and try and tie it up vertical rather than having it run along the ground if it's spreading all over the place, you know. Try and tie it up as neatly as you can without breaking it, and keep it as neat as you can. But this does happen with cucumbers, which is why I don't grow too many of them. They do tend to eat up a lot of space. But I would, if it's in a glass house, I wouldn't move it out now at this stage, you know. If the weather turns really nice and warm or something, you could put it outside, but not with the weather the way it is now. It's just a bit iffy. It'll be a bit cold tonight.
Okay.
You know, to get that transfer.
Right, on that note, we'll park it for there, Yvonne. If people want to get in touch,
they'll get me on my mobile number, which is 087 0818 255 011.
Jim is on next week and I'll be off because I know Ben was looking after the 11 to 2 show. In the meantime, Yvonne, thanks for that and have a great Thursday and enjoy the gardening. Okay.
Bye-bye.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.